Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts. The
Score! This hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
Let's talk about Caleb Williams's performance this past Sunday against the Steelers with an expert. Yeah, it is Tim Jenkins. You heard the opening. Now joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline is Tim Jenkins, CircaLasVegas.com. What's going on, Tim?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Give us your opening comments and your general thoughts on how well Caleb Williams played this past Sunday against the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it was his best game, right? I don't think it was one of those where you sit there and you go, man, we hit everything. I think it was one of his better games from a progression and a read and playing within the structure of our offense. And then I think he sprayed a couple, right? I think he missed a couple of dig routes, which obviously you want back. But simultaneously, man, I think we beat a good football team. And it's funny because we had joked about, I think 2 weeks ago I'd come on, we had kind of joked about, okay, hey, we're going to start to find out with this Steelers game. Right, and then you feel like you started to find out, but then again, Aaron Rodgers isn't under center, so now you got that knock, and it just feels like we consistently have this where, you know, our strength of schedule hasn't been great, and then when we finally get to it, it's like there's other things people can point to. At the end of the day, I guess all you say is we're 8-3. We appear to be a lot longer, a lot further progressed in the Ben Johnson system than I even thought we would be at this point, and both of those are things I think to be highly optimistic about.
That's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Tim, because Ben Johnson to me has been such a breath of fresh air, a revelation. He is everything, in my opinion, that we were promised when this hire was made. What is your evaluation of what you've seen from him as a head coach in what he's done here compared to, say, what he did maybe early in Detroit? I mean, it seems like this Bears offense is much further along, faster than I thought it would be, even if Caleb Williams isn't out here, you know, breaking the glass ceiling.
I think he's more, if I'm being honest with you guys. I think he's more than what we were promised. The reason I say that is because I expected us to kind of come in and be highly, I guess, like tactical would be the word. I thought we would be one of the better schematically coached teams in the NFL, which we are. You know, it's funny. I broke down Shadur and I broke down J.J. McCarthy this week as well. And it's like kind of a good refresher on what could be going on from a scheme standpoint and just like setting a quarterback up. You know, and I think KOC does a good job in Minnesota, but I do think they're limited by what JJ can do physically, right? I think it's sometimes good to watch other guys because then you're reminded of how just talented Caleb is. With that being said, the reason I think he's been more than what we were promised is because to me, I thought, okay, hey, we're going to be more, you know, we're going to be schematically sound, we're going to be all these other things, which is a huge upgrade from what the Bears have been in the past offensively. But I think he's more of a Sean McVay type, like truly managing the game and instilling competitive grit in the ball club, where this team is substantially tougher at all positions, not just offensively, than we've been in the past. And I think that's got to be a direct correlation to not only Ben and what he brings from a leadership standpoint, but the staff that he surrounded himself with.
Yeah, and I think the best way to summarize this conversation is it's working. It's working. You know, maybe not at the pace some people want. We've talked about that, the good and the bad, game to game and all that. But on the overall, what Ben Johnson, his part is working. And Tim, I want to ask you, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper on Caleb's specific performance against the Steelers, because you said correctly, I agree with you, it wasn't his best performance. And we could zero in on and break down the strip sack if we would like. We all know that was like just a really horrible play. But why in general, moreover, you talked about the dig routes and you had overthrows in this game. Is that where he gets the points taken off in this game? Are we still at accuracy with Caleb Williams, or is there more to it in your breakdown?
Yeah, I think it was just misses. Like the strip sack, yeah, it's horrific, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a terrible decision. You could throw me under center if you wanted that, right? With that being said, I think a lot of that is just Caleb, and I talked about it on the breakdown, Caleb has to start to understand better, hey, when are scramble situations, and then also he's got to be able to realize, like, personnel differences. It's hard to run away from 90 on the Steelers, right? People have been trying to do that for a long time. Like, I'm all in on Caleb feeling like he's Superman and running away from anybody, and I like that in a quarterback, especially as gifted as Caleb is. But at some point, we've got to go, man, you know, I might be Goliath, but that dude might be David, right? Like, we gotta, you know, maybe realize, okay, hey, this isn't the guy to try to run away from. So that situationally is the issue. The two digs, and the reason I'm really disappointed in them is because they were layup digs. They weren't like, hey, man, I got to drive this thing in between three defenders. They were layups. They were wide open dagger concepts, and he just missed them. It's funny then when you pair it with the fact that the Rome bender, and I know it kind of looked wide open, mm-hmm. but it looked wide open because he did a great job moving people with his eyes and then delivering an absolute missile. It's funny when you pair some of these things, because you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I've got one play where Caleb does elite level eye manipulation, you know, where he's moving guys and then getting to somebody else with a big time throw in a tight window. And then we just get on our front knee and sail a dig route, which is a wide open layup that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to hit in my barn 2 days from now when I'm in the Turkey Bowl against a bunch of 9-year-olds. Right. So you sit there and you go, man, it's an interesting one with Caleb, because there are the highs, there are the lows, and the lows just showed up on two dig routes. With all that being said, I'm still really pleased with where he's at from you know, working through these progressions, but also where he's at in terms of hanging on these concepts. We've talked about that. Hey, we need to hang a little bit longer on this concept. It's a great look for us. He's doing that. So to me, we're trending in the right direction where, you know, we've got Philadelphia coming up. We've got some of these tougher teams, and I'm starting to really feel positive on those games versus maybe where we were at 4 weeks ago when I'm saying, hey, I think they got a shot to make the playoffs, but we got to survive this stretch. Now, to me, it's more like we might be in a position where Caleb's going to attack with the football, hunt with the football enough that we have a chance to really jump out on some of these teams. And then if we can get some of these other offenses to be one-dimensional, I think our defense has a better chance.
Joined by Tim Jenkins here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. He's the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. You can watch Tim's full Caleb Williams breakdown on his YouTube channel. That's at All Things QB. And Tim, I'm going to take a look at that later on today. I'm really curious as we go forward now, because you're talking about the missed layups. We all played with that one kid in elementary school who could not hit a layup to save their life, but they could maybe throw it up from half court and make a shine. Like, how can the kid make it from half court, but he can't hit a layup? Does that fear exist where you think he's never going to be able to do the pedestrian at the level that Ben Johnson requires for his offense to really hum?
Yeah, for me, no. And the reason I say that is because it's almost like And this is going to be interesting because I do think Ben's going to be great for his development as a whole. But to me, when I evaluate Caleb, like if you were to give him to me for the offseason, what you're sitting there is it's almost like I just got to get you to kind of forget everything, like play with a clear mind, because it's funny when he's climbing the pocket or he's navigating or he's doing something with his eyes, it's almost like he just lets his body operate and he rips dimes, right? And then it's almost, hey, I'm locked on this concept. This is my first progression. The pocket's clean, and then I sail it. It's almost like he is like it's almost like he shifts to his throwing motion too much, or he's, you know, it's too clean where we just need him to cut it loose. It's a fascinating one because honestly, I can't remember the last time I've ever evaluated a guy where this was the hang up, right? Normally when you're looking at guys, you're like, oh man, we had to navigate the pocket, that's why we sailed it, or we had this, that's why we had an issue. You know, you turn on Detroit film, right? Jared Goff, you know, hey, if you put his body in too bad of a position, he's going to struggle. Caleb, it's almost like, let's put him in a terrible position. He'll overcome it, right? So right. To me, it's an interesting one. It's almost like he needs to spend enough. It's almost like his whole life has been fun off seasons of people throwing beanbags at him or throwing BOSU balls at him. Hey, you know, navigate the pocket, rip a dime. And it's almost like he needs to have just like a Peyton Manning-like off season. Hey, inside zone 7 hitch, throw the dig. Okay, do that 400 more times, right? Like, that's really the offseason he needs, in my opinion. Of course, you continue to sprinkle in the movement and all the cool stuff that he can do, and because you got to keep that, you know, you got to keep that trait there, right? That's what makes him so special. But to me, it's like he just needs one of those old school offseasons of, hey, man, let's just drive stuff from the pocket on time with our feet. Plus, I think that will make him substantially more efficient through his progressions, and as we try to get him to be more of an 80-20, 85-15 playing through the concept versus scrambling. So that, to me, that's where it's like I'm still really confident in his ability to do that, because if you can do all the special stuff, you should be able to do the other stuff. And I just think it's more of like a block training perspective, more of a volume thing than anything. I would be willing to bet that the kid has less volume throwing off of true five and a hitch over the lifetime of his career as he does doing driving range quarterback training, like I always joke about, right? There are guys that train quarterbacks, and there are guys that train driving range quarterbacks, where, sure, man, it looks great in shorts and a T-shirt, but, you know, can we execute within the game? And that's he just needs more of the old school, hey, man, just throw this on time.
Yeah.
Let's get a ton of reps at it. And I think he'll come into training camp looking completely different next year.
I want to ask you about one more concern. And there really were some good things that Caleb Williams did in this game that we can definitely get to. But there's one more concern that persists with me with Caleb Williams. And we saw it again on the first drive of the game for the Bears. And that was a three and out. Ball deflected on 3rd and 6. We've seen a lot of that from Caleb. We know what the Eagles' defense is. There's a game against Detroit where Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis combined for 5 batted passes. So this is what I'm thinking about heading into this game against the Eagles. What is that a product of, and how can he make that part of his game better?
Yeah, well, I think if you're looking at it from just a quarterback lens, it's a product of your arm slot, right? Caleb will at times drop his arm slot. Now, there's a big debate going on. Hey, does having a lower arm slot make you more rotational, which then adds velocity and adds accuracy, or do we need to go back to maybe a higher arm slot to avoid those? That's like a 45-minute TED talk, right? Like that no one really wants to listen to. But part of it's his arm slot. So that's what Caleb can control. Then the other piece is what can the O-line do and what can we do schematically? To me, you got to hit him with screen. You got to hit him with draw, which is going to then make it to where their rush isn't as consistent, so they're not timing up on jumps. And then, unfortunately, like you hate saying this because you know as a in the National Football League, part of you kind of have respect for the other side, and hey, they're professionals too. You don't want to take away their livelihood. Simultaneously, if you're going to jump, we got to cut you, right? We're going to have to end up cutting these guys and doing different stuff, which sucks. But if they're going to jump, we have to cut, and then we got to kind of set up, maybe bluff a couple cuts, bring some guys in from outside, Wham them a little bit. Like, that's really what you're going to have to do schematically. You know, obviously I'm not saying anything Ben doesn't know, and they're going to probably go into the game and they're going to have some of that stuff dialed up early to where, listen, all it takes is you cutting them one time for a pro guy to stop jumping, right? He's going to jump the next week. This week he's going to protect his knees. And that's kind of, unfortunately, the nature of the beast. But like, listen, they do the same thing to us, you know, when we're running screen. And so there's just all sorts of stuff. So to me, that's probably the answer. From a schematic standpoint, from a quarterback side of it, you got to stop dropping your arm angle. Anytime you start to lower that arm angle, it's of course going to bring those defenders into it. And that's something that Caleb, you know, you drop your arm angle at times to get into, you know, get into certain windows. Other times it's just lazy and we got to stay on top of it.
Tim Jenkins joining us as he does every week to talk quarterbacks and offense here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. Tim, I got to ask you, because I've been parsing through this really over the course of the season, but now it's getting a little tighter because they are going to be facing these top-level defenses in the upcoming weeks. Packers twice, we know about Detroit, and of course the Steelers just this past week. 31 points against Pittsburgh, but you get the feeling that there's a lot of meat being left on the bone, and I'm wondering, when we see Ben Johnson's offense, how much more can they do as the defenses get better and better, and how much meat is being left on the bone with this offense?
Yeah, it's crazy that we're getting on here and it's like we scored 31 and we're kind of like, man, we could have done more, right? That's what I think is so special about when you truly have someone who's at the top of their game calling and designing plays. Like, it is what it is. We got to dagger like four different ways and it was wide open every time. He is dialed in what he's doing. His sequencing is great from a call standpoint. His design is great. He doesn't throw in like, hey, here's three game plan calls that we think are going to be open. I guarantee they're putting in 35 game plan calls, right? That's just what they are right now. And the fact that the guys are processing it and executing it is another huge compliment to him and his staff. So to me, it's interesting for me to say this, but this is the truth. I don't think the defense that you put in front of the Bears matters. Like, I know that that's crazy to say. I just don't feel like that's truly the worry. I think the worry is the team as a whole you put in front of the Bears, and are they able to lean on our defense so much that it puts our offense in a one-dimensional perspective? Because part of the reason we're so successful is because we do have such a good run game. We have some gadget plays that we're able to get into run action, play action, which, as you guys know, is only effective as long as the ball game is a ball game and we're not in, you know, chase situation, right? We start getting into, hey, we're chasing you, we're going to be in trouble, right? Play action, run action ain't going to hit the same, and then we're going to, you know, some of these concepts aren't going to work. So to me, it's almost like I'm not that worried about any of these top defenses we have coming up. As long as the game stays within a traditional game flow, we're going to be fine on offense. To me, it's more, can our defense early on in games stand up to some of these better offenses to where we do stay in a regular game flow versus falling behind?
No doubt.
No doubt. As we continue to talk to Tim Jenkins here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on The Score, I do want to ask you about some of the good from the Steelers game. And I guess specifically the one that I'm looking at right now is the DJ Moore 24-yard touchdown pass after DJ Moore had the taunting penalty. Was that his best throw of the day? Or what did you think were some of his best throws of the day for Caleb?
Yeah, I mean, you love the seam, right? That was great. And you kind of, I mean, I do love DJ rifling into the stands. I mean, that was kind of an exciting play. But what I will say is my favorite play was the mag route. Mag route is kind of, you got to think of it, it's not a true in route, right? It's not like, hey, that's square in. But it's not a post, right? So we needed a word for the in-between, and we came up with mag.
Nice.
Now, do I have any idea why? No, I don't. Schottenheimer just told me that.
Okay.
Bradford echoed it, and then I basically was trying to survive. So now it's a mag route in our offense too. But what I will tell you is he has this one where he's under center, it's zone action, he sticks his foot in the ground, and he just rips a missile. That one was special.
To Rome?
Was that to Rome?
On the 11-play 70-yard drive, yeah.
Yep. And it was awesome. And then there was one later where he hits DJ Moore on like a 20, 25-yard read route.
Yeah.
And it's one that I highlighted in the breakdown, and I highlighted it from the standpoint of we take for granted how far some of these throws are that he just puts on an absolute line that it's just like from his chin to the receiver's chest, it's special stuff. So that read route was great too. And it's great when you can sit there in a more of a 4-minute situation and call a true run action pass and have confidence in your quarterback to like, hey man, we're going to throw a 30-yard read route. Like, that's insane. But those were two that were really special. He played really great off of what we kind of call like a 5-plant with run action, where it's, hey, it's run action, but you stick your foot in the ground and instead of taking a hitch, you're just putting the ball on him. Like Brady and the Patriots used to do that a bunch with some of the trap action and stuff, and they'd hit Gronk. We're just substituting you know, real dig routes from our receivers and or Loveland, which I think he's going to be long-term a really key piece in this run, whatever the Bears do over the next few years, because that threat of being able to do run action with a big body guy running down the middle, that's going to be special. They're just going to probably have to ease the amount of stuff that goes onto his plate, right? He's not going to start out with everything that you're going to see on Thursday at your Thanksgiving. He's not starting out with everything, right? Right now we just got turkey and mashed potatoes on his plate, but it's going to get special long-term for him. So that's where I just think this offense can go, and that's what Caleb did a really good job of this week with some of those run action, play action passes where he's hitting his foot in the ground, letting it rip.
Tim, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for coming on the Score like you do, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, Tim.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. I appreciate you.
Yep, thank you. We appreciate you too, man. Learn a lot here. And again, that was Tim Jenkins, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. I learned a lot there. It gave me some things to think about, including, and we're going to do it right now, but just quickly, the fact that he is farther ahead than he thought he would be with Ben Johnson and what he is trying to do. And then I love the part about, and you got to know your personnel. You got to
KYP, baby.
KYP, Stacey King, absolute shout out right there. We got something really cool coming up here in a second. But first of all, let me tell you about something really cool coming up this Friday at the Wall. Gurney Mills Mall, located at 6144 West Grand Avenue. Olin Kreutz, James Big Cat Williams, and I will host our pregame show there from 11 to 2. That's 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on Philadelphia the day after Thanksgiving. Catch the game on the biggest of screens while enjoying the MVP comforts of a Marcus Theater. I love the Marcus Theaters. There will be drink specials as well. It's all happening at the Wall in Gurney Mills Mall starting at 11 a.m. this Friday. Marshall and I did the schedule exercise together that, excuse me, we all do when the NFL schedules came out. I was doing an evening show. Marshall was kind enough to come out. Adam Studzinski did picks as well. We all did it. We all kicked it around. And Marshall and I are heavily trending incorrect on our picks.
But Studs is out here.
Oh, did Studs do better than us?
He picked like a 10-7 or 11-6 or okay, not even 12-5.
Cheers to everybody who did that. We did not. Sorry, not sorry. I don't feel bad about my pick at all.
Pleasantly surprised.
But we got six games to go. So Marshall and I are gonna try to totally redeem ourselves and see if we can't pick these final six games, which will include the Bears and Eagles. So we're giving it. I mean, it's a weird week, man. So we're giving away our Bears Eagles picks.
I'm not giving a score though. I'm just going to tell you who's going to win.
It's tough not knowing the injury report too. So this is a risky exercise and enterprise about which we are going to take on here momentarily. As a matter of fact, we're going to do that next on Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna-Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
What is the Bears' overall record this year?
Now I've got them at 8-9.
What did you have them at before?
I thought they could be a 10-win team.
Yep, 7-10. Yep. And then the pivotal game for me is that Washington game. I'll be wrong if they win at Washington. But if they lose at Washington, 7-10.
I got the Bears at 8-9 this year.
My Chicago Bears are going to finish 8-9. I think after this year, we're going to be confident about the quarterback, confident about Ben Johnson.
Baby T's Chicago Bears are going 9-8 and missing the playoffs by one game.
Baby T here.
Meatball was in. Meatball was coming up short. I think they're going to get over that 9.
So wait, did Layla pick 8-9 as well?
She went 10-7.
Yeah.
But then once the Micah Parsons trade happened, that's when she dialed it down. She probably doesn't even remember that. But
Well, Layla. So she's at 8. She was with me at 8-9. Again, sorry, not sorry. I do not apologize for picking the Bears to be 8-9 as we welcome you back in to Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. However, even though we're not, or at least I'll just speak for me, I'm not sorry. However, I would like to take a shot at picking these final six games. It's the Pick Six, midday show style. We've got six Bears games to tell you about, whether they will win or lose, and why, and if. And this will tell everybody along the way. We're going to give you a Bears-Eagles pick. Eagles! And you will know what we think the Bears' record will be by the end of the season. Bears are at the Eagles this Friday. 2 p.m. is the kickoff. Look, I'm seeing ways for the Bears to win this game. I do not subscribe necessarily to the theory that Marshall's put out there that the Philadelphia, because of what just happened against Dallas, that they're angry and they're going to put forth their best effort and they're going to get well against the Bears because they blew a 21-point lead. I get all that, and sometimes I've uttered similar things. In this case, I just think the Eagles are in the midst of they're in a slump, and I don't know that they're going to jump out of it in this game, but I don't think the Bears are going to win the game.
All that just to tell
all
me the
that.
Bears are not going to win?
Dude, I keep it so real. That's what you don't understand about me. You're right. Like I have been reading and listening to all things Eagles or a lot. Yesterday, right after I walked out of here, I was like into the Eagles, and so I see it all. I really do. I think it's going to be a very close game, and it's not going to be one of these hammer times that the Bears have had when they've gone out to Philadelphia
in the past.
You're
partially right. You're partially right in what you're talking about right now when you talk about the Bears catching the Eagles at the right time.
Yes.
The problem with what you're saying, though, is it's not like they just started a slump. The Eagles have been in a slump all season long.
Okay. The Bears have a chance.
Yeah.
Like they're a vulnerable
team.
But
loss to the Cowboys is what's going to have them playing better. Now, that being said, Caleb Williams. This is it. This is the Caleb Williams coming out party.
Are you picking the Bears to win
Robbie,
this game,
you won't
dude?
Be here, but if you were, I'd say write that down because you won't be here
Wait
to
a minute.
Give it back to me.
If you're about to say, I'll let you finish.
Yeah, this is blockbuster happening.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, you're coming at me. You're doing me the whole, after all of that, you picked the Bears to lose?
I got the Bears.
Carry on, my wayward son.
I got the Bears winning this game. Caleb Williams.
Robbie, Ray, everybody, write that down.
The special comes out.
Mitch, let everybody in here write this down.
The special comes out.
Okay.
The special comes out on Friday.
Oh, man.
Wait a minute. So all weekend you said if the Eagles lose,
they
are going to...
You can't stop Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Zach Bond.
I didn't say those words.
No, you didn't.
You just made that
up. What is this?
What I'm saying is they had a better chance of winning. They had a better chance of winning. I didn't say they couldn't win. I said they have a better chance of winning, a much better chance of winning.
I can't believe you're picking the Bears.
I'm taking the Bears.
Oh. Okay,
that's
good.
Win number,
good.
That's win number 9. A good. Winning season we celebrate on
wow.
Monday.
Wow. Okay. All right. You have the Bears beating the Eagles. I have the Bears losing. Oh, the irony is thick on this show today. You thought you could predict what we were going to predict, but you can't. You can't do that.
We are not going to be aligned. I couldn't predict it.
We are not predictable here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. And we should have asked for Layla's picks as well, because she was all talking heavy, talking tough the other day about saying that she's not part of this group because she had him for 10 wins. She went down to 8. We've got the tape. All right. Bears, I'll let you go first on this one. Bears at Green Bay.
That's an L.
December 7th, the 325 game. Get
that is an L.
Okay.
That is an L. That is a revenge game. That is a Packers doing what they do game. Revenge
from the Thomas Brown game?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep. And also, I think the desperation is going to be thick in Green Bay. You know why? Hey, Robbie, who do the Packers play this week?
They play the Detroit Lions.
Where's that game, Robbie?
That game will be in Ford Field a week after the Lions won, but it looked really terrible.
So, you feel me on that?
I do. I have the Bears losing to, not necessarily because of what you just said.
Of course not, because of what I said.
But I can't just agree with you. But, yeah, I do have the Bears losing to at Green Bay. Green Bay has been good lately. They're a weird team, but they've won 2 in a row. They're 7-3. I don't know if I'm feeling that revenge factor thing from the final game of the season, but I do have the Bears losing to that 325 game before the nation.
Do you think someone's going to remind Matt LaFleur of the Ben Johnson press conference to introduce himself as a Chicago Bears head coach?
I'd be shocked if they didn't. I'll be disappointed if they don't.
All of that.
Yeah. Okay. Add that into the mix, too. Yeah, they might have a little something for Ben Johnson and the Bears. Oh, God, I hope that's not like the Detroit game. Oof.
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think we're going to see some really better football these last six games than what we saw early in the season.
Okay. Let's move on to the next game here, and that would be the Bears hosting Myles Garrett. That's what I'll just call them, Myles Garrett. Well, you might say Shedeur Sanders. That would be the Cleveland Browns. That is coming up. The presently 3-8 Cleveland Browns. And by the way, Myles Garrett with another 3 sacks is up to 18. Do you know that every single year of his life he's had double-digit sacks? Eight years
now in the
league.
This year he's going to break the NFL record if he stays healthy.
Unbelievable what that man does. I mean, he is just so real. But, yeah, the Bears will win that game. You can't. If the Bears are what we think they are, if they lose that game, then they're not who we thought they were. So the Bears win that game at Cleveland, or against Cleveland at Soldier Field. Win. W.
Double down. 10-4. Bears.
Oh, my God.
10-4 Bears.
This guy is really making up for his bad pick at the beginning of the season.
Wow.
I had a bad one, too. That's the motto of the day. Next game, the Bears hosting the Green Bay Packers. You go first this time.
Well, Aaron Rodgers isn't walking through that door.
Right.
He already walked through the door, and they knocked him off when he was in the Steelers uniform on the sideline.
Right. He was so angry, he was flipping the bird.
This is the revenge for the revenge game. Bears.
Well done, Mr. Harris. Yeah, I have the Bears. We're in sync there. Yes, I think the Bears will take care of Green Bay. So I've got the Bears. They've won 2 in a row now on my chart. They're making the comeback. So we're through 4 games. We've got 2 more games to pick here.
What's their record, according to us?
What do you mean, right? Have we had the exact same picks?
No. I've got them with one more win than you have.
We'll get to that. Let's start with at San Francisco. Let's get these last two in, and then we'll add it all up.
L. It's a loss.
Yo, L. What up? Yeah, I have that as
and
a
I'm
loss.
And I'm not just saying that because George Kittle's going to run up and down the field, which he probably will. I'm not just saying it because of that.
I can't think about the trauma of last year anymore, so I'll put that away. But I am the one who... I always have a healthy fear of the tight end. Tight ends drive me crazy because just when you're not paying attention to you, TJ Hockenson will Hockenson you or whomever that guy might be.
I struggled a little bit with this game just because it is a Sunday night game. And so it feels like it's going to be really big. But I just, and I could be wrong. Like, that's the thing. We don't even have the injury report for this week. We don't know who's going to be healthy. This is just an exercise of futility.
Well, right. We talked about it before we came on the air. This is almost as silly as talking about power rankings.
It really is.
Yeah. But it's a blast, though, at the same time.
But I like them to lose this game.
Okay. I do, too. It's a tough call. You're right. On the road, that is a Sunday night game. So I don't feel good about that one for the Bears. I do, however, I think that I don't even struggle with the final game of the season. The Bears will beat Detroit at home after the embarrassment that they caused Ben Johnson and the entire Bears organization. And the Lions loved doing it at Ford Field earlier this year in the second game of Ben Johnson's tenure here. So yeah, I think that they will win. And ding, 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 ding. The math is mathing now. The Bears, according to me, are going to be 11-6.
Does that win the NFC North? Because that's why I'm having trouble picking them to beat the Lions in that game. Because that game very well could be for the NFC North straight up.
My God.
Got me?
My gut is to say no. But 11-6 is 11-6.
Hold on. Let's sidebar. Sidebar.
Okay. Yes, Your Honor.
On your 11-6.
Yeah.
The Packers play the line. You got the Packers winning at Detroit?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that yet. Well, ask me that.
No, because
I don't care about that right now.
Yes. I want to let you know why that game could be for the NFC North.
Okay.
So just walk with me on this.
All right. What is it again? Green Bay at Detroit?
Green Bay at Detroit, Thanksgiving Day.
Are you asking me?
Who will win that game? Just
Green
straight up.
Green Bay at Detroit. You know what? I like Green Bay. Detroit sucks on Thanksgiving. You know that, Robbie, right?
So you like Detroit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said Green Bay.
Oh, you like Green Bay at Detroit?
Yes, I just said. Detroit sucks on Thanksgiving.
I really.
Who's your pick? Who's your pick for Detroit?
Wait, hold on one second.
Okay, I don't like when you do these little questions.
So between those Bears games that the Packers play, they go to Denver. Do you like them winning that game?
Who goes to Denver?
The Packers. Between the Bears games, they have. You get the Browns. They go to Denver.
Yeah.
Do you like them winning that game at Denver?
The 9-2 Denver Broncos.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I mean, doesn't it have to stop at some point in time for Denver?
So you like the Packers to win at Denver?
I don't know. We're doing the Bears.
Well, but I'm trying to paint a picture.
Okay,
here.
Paint the picture. Make your point. How about that?
Okay, after they face the Bears that second game, then they've got the Ravens at home. They'll win at the Vikings to end the season.
Are you doing the Packers schedule now? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, we went to the sidebar.
What's with the audible here?
Because based on what you said, I can figure out if everybody else is doing what everybody else is doing.
Doing the Browns schedule next.
So, yes, I have the Bears losing that game to Detroit.
Okay.
But I think they still get in. I still think they get in the...
Did you do the math on yours, Mr.
Yeah, 11-6.
We're both 11-6.
Yeah.
So you don't have them winning the division either?
No, I do have them winning the division.
Okay. Oh, so you're saying Detroit will still get in is what you're saying.
Yeah.
The Bears will win, but Detroit will still
get in. The Bears will win the NFC North with an 11-6 record.
Okay.
That's on record now.
It's on record. That's the record. Couple of 11-6s.
You won't be here to replay it, sir.
and the Bulls are winning the North, or the Bulls are winning the East.
I said they can.
And the Cubs, they're catching the Brewers.
Oh,
that's
my
what's going to happen.
I mean, I'm not the one who said the Cubs had won the freaking NL Central. God. That wasn't me, was it?
You didn't do it in a condescending voice
or super condescending.
In a very superior way.
You didn't.
I was feeling pretty superior that day.
Yeah.
But,
and then what happened?
Yeah. Put that in the L column.
Inferiority comes at you fast, huh?
For old Grody. All right, what are we doing in the next segment? What are we doing?
Checking in with WIP.
Oh, yeah!
That's right.
We're checking in with our sister station in Philly. We did a quick check-in earlier today to see what they're talking about, and they're like, Saquon Barkley has lost a step, fire the offensive coordinator, the sky is falling, we will eavesdrop on our sister station WIP out of Philly as they talk about the Eagles. We'll do that next on Raheem Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna-Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Raheemy Harris and Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
E-A-G-A-L-E-S. Bears and Eagles coming up this Friday at 2 o'clock. Thank you, Lester. A couple of angsty 8-3 teams, I would call it, trying to define what exactly the team is. There's a pretty high bar in Philadelphia, though.
Angsty?
Angsty. Angsty fan bases. You don't think that the Philadelphia fan base is anxious right now?
Oh, I didn't know what angsty meant.
Angsty. Angst. You've never heard of angst?
I have heard of angst.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of angsty.
I think that works.
I think you made that up.
Robbie, look that up and write it down. But yeah, I would say word. See, before he was leaving for New York, he would have looked that up for me, and we would know if angsty. Ray, look that up. You find out if angsty. You're going to have a lot of stuff to do when Robbie leaves, Ray. Do you understand that?
Yes, angsty describes someone's feeling or expressing angst.
See?
Why didn't you trust me?
See? And why didn't Marshall trust me?
I'd never heard of
to use a proper vocabulary word. Okay. So let's hear what's going on in Philadelphia, specifically on WIP Radio, which is our Odyssey sister station. And Robbie, do we have three phone calls?
Yeah,
for Philly, you want to lead this for us a little bit?
Yeah, so we have three phone calls from WIP, and they're not happy in general at all. Let's start.
And I heard somebody reference this. Apparently ESPN had the odds at 96% that their Eagles were going to win that game. Then the dream turned dark. And you know what, guys? It reminded me of, like, in Happy Gilmore, when he goes to his happy place and Shooter shows up and everything turns dark and twisted. And that's what happened. The entire place went dark. That's when our dream turned into Jerry Nightmare Kruger's torture Thunderdome last night down there in that trash stadium of theirs. Saquon. Speaking of Saquon, love you, Saquon. We are. But you know what, brother? You're cooked like the Thanksgiving turkey we're all about to eat on Thursday.
He had 2,000 yards last year.
But he only has 684 yards so far. He is only averaging 3.7 yards per carry.
Bro, he's averaging like 60 yards a game. It's not good.
It has not been good. And I haven't watched a lot of Eagles, but that's what they're saying, that he looks slow and sluggish. It's amazing. I guess he's entitled after the season he had last year, right? I mean, that's where does it go from there?
We have a pretty clear track record on what happens the year after you rush for 2,000 yards. It's never good.
Never good. Why? I haven't looked at that, but like what, Eric Dickerson would have been one of those guys who
go to the next call and I'll get you those stats.
All right, Robbie, bring us the next call from, these are Philadelphia calls from our sister station WIP in Philadelphia.
Listen, this ain't over. That was a game that probably was, you know, destined to happen yesterday, man. Because of the circumstances that happened over in Dallas, you know, I'm a conspiracist. But, you know, sometimes when people do the right thing, they think it's the wrong thing. We did the right thing yesterday. We gave them a game. That was a gift. But from here on, every quarterback, we got to keep in the box. We got to play tough defense, man. And listen, this season is still ours, man. We just got to get the little pieces to the puzzle back together again, and let's win some more games, baby.
So I played that because I thought that would is exactly aligned with what Marshall thought. Like, hey, you know, we needed that. We were giving that to him. And then Marshall just goes ahead and flips and now takes the Bears over the Eagles.
I didn't flip. I just said I would be a lot more confident in my pick. I made a pick. I'm 51% sure that the Bears are going to beat the Eagles.
Yeah,
I'm only 49% sure that the Eagles are going to beat the Bears. You see how that works, Robbie?
I just love the fan rationale. It's like, you know what? We needed that. We needed to lose that game. It was all part of the
plan.
You
never heard a coach told you his team needed to lose before going to the NCAA tournament or the NFL? Like, there's people on record saying the Patriots have just lost a regular season game. That wouldn't have happened against the Giants in the Super Bowl.
If the path to success does not have failures on it, it probably doesn't lead anywhere. Guys, we have one more call.
That was deep.
Yeah, wasn't it? I got all sorts of stuff like that.
The wide receiver mad, the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to point the finger, right? His fault. It's everybody's fault. Y'all got a whole bunch of, like, easy games coming up. Now, I say easy. Cowboys was an easy game. We lost. You know what I'm saying? Y'all got to stop pointing the damn finger. Saquon Barkley, I need him to take a little couple games off. You know what I'm saying? I seen this earlier in the year. Y'all pointed at me saying, no. Like, I don't know if it's the vision. Everybody say the Madden curse, all that.
Somebody needs to rustle up. Who's it? Tank Bigsby. Tank Bigsby needs to get the carries, according to that caller.
Hey, man, that's a thing. So, like, I get
Barkley,
it.
The Barkley stuff?
Well, the Madden curse. That part of it. Remember, like, he did the Madden thing where they had put the strings on him and lift him up and all that stuff?
What do you do, though? Like, he did rush for... Did you find those post-2000?
There's more 2,000-yard rushers than I remember, but I'll give you a sample of
OJ,
them.
Was OJ one?
Did OJ? OJ did.
OJ,
yeah.
Eric Dickerson.
1973.
Great guy.
So, just some samples. Jamal Lewis rushed for 2,066 yards in 2003.
Yeah, Jamal Lewis of the Ravens, right?
He had 1,006 yards the next year.
Oh,
got that?
I kind of remember that.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
He rushed for 2,097 yards in 2012. The next season, 1,266.
Wow. You kind of get a bye year. You earn that
Terrell
as a running back.
Terrell Davis, 2,008 yards in 1998.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He played four games the next year and only got 211 yards.
It's human nature.
You can't,
right?
You can't sustain that.
You cannot sustain that, nor do you care to.
For our resident guy, I'll tell him the guy who had the strongest comeback year after a 2,000-yard season was Barry Sanders. 2,053 yards in 1997, 1,491 yards the next year, and then he retired.
So while all of these callers were just like spilling and being angry, inside of the WIP studios, someone had to join. Someone, a surprise guest joined.
Oh. Hold on. Gritty's walking in the studio right now. I know we're all, you know, we got everything going on here with the Eagles.
What's up, Gritty?
But Gritty's back. Hello, Gritty. Gritty, what's going on, buddy? I mean, you've got the Flyers right now. You know, they're
going to hop on the mic, Gritty.
They're in a playoff spot right now. Gritty, get over here, pal. Good to see you. Almost knocked over John Strank. I would applaud you if you did. You knocked over the trash can. I applaud that.
So the day after, here just comes Gritty, this old orange goof just in the studio.
Don't you feel like Gritty would get his ass kicked in Philadelphia, walking the Philadelphia streets? You've been on those Philadelphia streets. Would he just get punched?
The day that Gritty debuted, he came to the WIP studios and joined us, right?
And people sit there and squeak?
No, listen, people were so mad. They're like, who came up with this? This is awful.
Oh, that's hilarious.
What happened was, over the next 24 hours, everyone outside of Philadelphia started making fun of Gritty. Guess what? Gritty became a made man after that. This is like, you're not going to talk about one of ours. How often does that happen?
That's amazing. So he is a protected man.
He is protected man. Yeah. He is a yes.
That's not a guy you can mess with. That's a guy you can mess with. That's not a guy you can mess
it's
with.
It's like if they came after Benny the Bull or Southpaw. Like,
we would protect them
then? Clark.
You know who wouldn't. There's one full-time staff member on the air here.
His throne is over there.
Yeah, his throne. Yes, the memorial high chair for David Haw.
He's not dead. He's just not here.
His seat is raised to the roof, basically. Maybe that's it. Maybe Haw is raising the roof.
I got one more 2,000-yard guy for you. CJ2K, Chris Johnson. Remember him?
Yeah.
2009, 2006 yards, 2010. 1364.
That, you know, that would have been a great categories. 2,000 yard. Can you get 2,000 yard rushers? Like, because those kind of you forget those.
There's only one more guy I haven't looked up, so I'm going to do it since we're right here.
Who's that? Would be OJ
to see what he did the next year. OJ. Yeah. OJ had 2,003 yards in 1973. The next year,
yeah,
and that was in 14 games when he rushed for 2,003 yards. The next year, in the same number of games, 1,125 yards. It's not good when you rush for 2,000 yards.
And it just makes sense.
And to do it and then to go all the way to the Super Bowl, that's a lot of wear and tear.
I have seen wandering the hallways both Matt Spiegel and Anthony Heron. Lawrence Holmes has the day off on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We will transition with both of those gentlemen coming up next here on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.